Baseball statistics used to be easy. Some of you may remember those days. A great pitcher, he was the guy who won about twice as many games as he lost. A good hitter, he was the guy with a batting average over 300. Fans eager for complication could discuss the pitcher's earned run average or the hitter's runs batted in. During the conversation, somebody was bound to mention the scout who could tell a great player by watching him get off the bus. No statistics need apply. Then in 1980, along came Bill James with something he called sabermetrics, a word that combined the acronym for the Society for American Baseball Research with the scary concept of metrics. Scary at least for a fellow like me who'd stalled out at Algebra 2. Over the past three-plus decades, sabermetrics devotees have developed ever more complicated ways to, as Bill James himself put it, search for objective knowledge about baseball. Major League Baseball eventually embraced the quest. In 2003, Moneyball, written by Michael Lewis, made a hero of Oakland Athletics general manager Billy Beane for doing that. Fans of James and Moneyball could almost forget that Oakland never could win when it counted most. But that didn't discourage those dedicated to the ever-expanding search for the perfect way to quantify baseball's mysteries. And maybe that's a good thing, because if the quest hadn't continued, maybe there'd be no reason for this next story from Only a Game's Gary Wallach.
Mike Patton is a Nashville school teacher. He's loved baseball since he was a 7-year-old living in New Orleans. His dad loved it, too. But New Orleans has never had a major league team. Back in the early 80s, there was pretty much only one way for Mike and his dad to enjoy major league ball.
I'd go get the Times-Picayune and bring it back, and we'd look at the sports section together and look at the baseball box scores and stuff, and I'd try to figure out what they all meant, and he'd explain it to me, you know, as best he could.
Mike and his dad made occasional road trips to see the Astros and a handful of other MLB teams. But most of the time, Mike just dug into the daily box scores to learn about the major leaguers he admired.
To find at least one stat, whether it's Vince Coleman, look at all these stolen bases. Look at Ricky Henderson. He can hit home runs and steal bases. If Mark McGwire was this new guy that we heard about and he had 49 home runs, suddenly that was a name. The guys with the good stats, that's who we wanted to talk about.
Mike's young life revolved around ERA, RBI, and batting average. But by 1999, when he returned to New Orleans after 4 years of college, the world of baseball stats had dramatically changed. Sabermetrics had come to overshadow the more traditional categories. The new stats were notorious for their complexity and often their divisiveness. Mike did his best to learn sabermetrics, but...
You know, I don't know. It kind of takes the fun out of discussing baseball and stats in general.
But Mike kept discussing them anyway, first as a blogger and then as the writer of over 800 Yahoo Sports columns. Mike found it just wasn't possible to avoid sabermetrics, like war.
War is, officially, it's wins above replacement. And what it does is it projects a value for each major league ball player that is supposed to give you the number of wins that each player is worth above a replacement level player.
Oh, I get it. Actually, no, I don't.
No one can even give you like a solid answer, but basically what they want to come up with is they basically calculate how many runs that player is worth, and then from what I understand, it basically takes like 10 runs to equal one win to go to that player's WAR. So like if a player like Chris Bryant...
Did I mention that Mike is a part-time musician? While he was wrestling with sabermetrics and their usefulness, Mike began writing songs about baseball. He started a band with his brother Todd and called it Vista Blue after one of his Little League teams in New Orleans. Mike borrowed melodic inspiration from the Ramones and Weezer, and the baseball themes began to emerge.
I was listening to classic rock, and the song War, What Is It Good For? Came on this classic rock channel here in Nashville. It just hit me. I was like, yeah, you know, this is the time to just do it. I remember back when we were kids. There was on the stat for everything that we did. We only cared about the final score. And I don't even know what they're saying anymore. I know OBB. I know SLG. But tell me war. What is it good for? It was a joke. I just wrote the song by putting together some stats that I knew versus war, which I didn't. But tell me war. What is it good for?
Despite his tuneful skepticism, Mike Patton says he does belong to a sabermetrics group on Facebook, where some war devotees aggressively push their agenda. Some even attempt to discredit Major League MVP and Cy Young Award winners by demonstrating how their war numbers prove that those who voted for them were wrong. Mike posted "War, What Is It Good For?" on Facebook, thinking it might set the rigid sabermetrician straight, but
a couple guys just kind of chuckled at it. What's it good for now? You know what I mean? Like, I think that they thought it was like, I was writing from the perspective of some poor fool who didn't worship the statistic, I guess.
The chuckles didn't bother Mike.
All I can tell you is that I have not heard anyone tell me I'm wrong.
He's probably not heard anyone tell him he's not prolific either.
I do like to take classic song titles and use them as like baseball song titles. So like we have a song called Give Reese a Chance, you know, instead of Give Peace a Chance, where, you know, this poor guy Reese just sits on the bench and the coach won't play him. He always hustles, he runs into walls. He risks his life just to chase down by balls. His clothes are clean, there's no dirt on his pants. And all we're saying is give Reese a chance. We got a song called My Best Friend's Glove, you know, about making a play with a glove that you borrow from your best friend. I'm in the play with my best friend's glove, oh yeah, and I don't
think I'll be giving it back now. Mike Patton is married with three kids. His youngest, an 8-year-old daughter, watches Cubs games with him. There's no MLB team in Nashville, so he must feel he's come full circle in some ways. He's now written over 30 songs about baseball and says he plans to keep writing them because the sport constantly presents interesting subjects.
You can take a bullpen catcher, you can take a pinch runner, you can take a lefty reliever. It's endless. And when you start going from not only the major leagues, but down to AAA, down to rookie league, to college, to little league, I mean, this game goes back to 1876, and we see new things every day. Somebody put something in my Gatorade.
Sounds like Mike Patton is ready for anything, even the next wave of arcane stats conjured up by baseball's dweebiest eggheads. That leads me to wonder aloud if he has ever dreamed of becoming the official statistical songwriter of Major League Baseball.
No, but if they called me and wanted that, I think I could do it.
That's Only a Game's Gary Wallach talking with Mike Patton of Vista Blue. In time for the 2018 Winter Olympics, the band will release a 7-inch split single featuring songs about curling. The other band on that single will be our old friends, the Zambonis.